We're back, and we're back here with some friends from Holland Hospital. And if you have some questions this morning of them, you can call us 395-1450. Gail Warner is the nursing manager, and Matt Forbes is the man who takes care of the marketing. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Duke.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about an important topic this morning, and that is strokes. Stroke awareness, and we've all got to be aware of strokes and how fast they can hit us, just like that. And who wants to talk first? What is a stroke? Who wants to jump on that one?
A stroke is an interruption in the blood flow to the brain. It can either be caused by a blockage or a break in the vessel. If it could be caused by blood, a hemorrhage, which is probably 15% of the time, 85% of the time, it's caused by a clot or a piece of fat that breaks off from the vessel and stops blood flow to that part of the brain.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary.
It is.
Because it can happen just like that.
It can happen just like that, and the most important thing to do is to call 911 and get to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Can anybody get a stroke?
Yes, anyone can get a stroke. A lot of times people are under the misconception that it's just the elderly, but it's not. It's anyone can get a stroke. Children get strokes. Women get strokes. African Americans are at a higher risk for stroke.
Really? Hmm. And can we recognize the stroke when it hits us?
Well, what happens is we like to use the acronym FAST, F-A-S-T. It's important if you notice or if one of your family members or loved ones notice that when you smile, there's a droop on half of your face. Maybe half of your face is normal, the other half isn't moving. So you want to look at people's face and mm-hmm. see if there's a discrepancy. You also want to ask people to lift up their arms up in front of them. And if an arm drifts down, they can't hold it up, then that might be an indication they're having a stroke. Also, if their speech is garbled, maybe they are trying to talk and they can't get it out. They understand you, but they can't talk back. They are talking and it's making no sense, then there's something wrong with their speech, and that also might be an indication. And then T is for time. The most important thing to do is if you notice a difference in someone's face, that one side is drooping, one side isn't, that they don't have the strength in their arms that they normally had, they can't hold an arm up, or their speech, there's something wrong with their speech, the most important thing to do is to call 911
mm-hmm.
and get into the emergency. Do not wait and see if the symptoms resolve. Do not have your family members drive you in. The most important thing you can do for yourself is to get to the hospital as quickly as possible to get treatment.
Mm-hmm. I can speak to that because I had one, and I wanted to look for my daughter's telephone number.
Exactly.
And I had no idea where to go.
Wow.
I took mm-hmm. the telephone book, but I didn't know where to go.
Exactly. You're confused.
Yeah.
Sometimes people lose vision in one eye or both eyes. So that would be another symptom.
Mm-hmm.
If you're all of a sudden having trouble with vision and you lose vision in one eye, you mm-hmm. could be having a stroke. And in that case, too, you call 911 and
right.
get to the emergency room as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
Because once you get to the emergency room, we have treatments that if it is a blood clot that's blocking the blood vessel to your brain, we can give you medication to open up that blood vessel and get the oxygenated blood back into your brain. And that's the most important thing you need at that time. If there's a blockage in your artery, the blood flow has stopped. And so that part of the brain on the other side of the blockage is dying. So the most important thing is to open that blockage up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and get the blood flowing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing because I think human nature is that we sort of wait. We wait
yes.
and see if it'll get better, or we
sure.
we think, geez, this might have an expense attached to it. Maybe I should
yeah.
I should weather the storm. You know, it's kind of human nature, particularly I think
it
in
is.
the hardworking community of Holland that will struggle through and survive. But as Cale says, the biggest mistake you can make is doing nothing. It's a mistake, but it's a small one to go in and get treated, and it turns out it isn't a stroke.
Yeah.
The thing to avoid is missing the opportunity to get it addressed right away.
Well, we like to think that, well, this is nothing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we have episodes like that when it is nothing.
Yeah, it's like, is it, you know, people think they're having a heart attack, and they think, well, maybe it's indigestion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could be a life-altering decision, and
yes.
you probably should get it looked at. So Gail's absolutely right. The FAST acronym is very helpful. It tells people what to look for and how quickly to respond.
Okay, we've got a call on the line here. Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to know if there's a prescription that a caregiver can give, like I take care of my mother, and if I notice a stroke on her, is there a medication I can give her right away and then call 911 or call 911 and give her the medication?
What you should do first is call 911, and it's very important, too, that you can give her an aspirin, but you have to be very careful because you don't know how the stroke has affected her swallowing.
Okay.
So the most important thing for you to do is to call 911 if you think
very
your mother's
good.
Having a stroke.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Any other questions, give us a call, 395-1450. Stroke is something that can happen to you real quick, and you don't know when it's going to hit you. I have no idea. Right. All right. What does a doctor do after you've gone to the emergency room, and do they give you some type of medication which will prevent stroke or make it less possible?
There are, depending on if you were diagnosed with having a stroke or what we call a TIA, a transient ischemic stroke, sometimes people will exhibit symptoms of stroke, but they resolve themselves. Even though they resolve, you should still go into the emergency room and have it checked out because it could be a precursor to a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
It could be people that have TIAs are at a higher risk for having a complete stroke.
Yeah.
So you want to get that checked out. Like I said, if you get to the emergency room, we do have medications that we can give you to open up that blockage in the vessel in your brain. 15% of strokes are caused by hemorrhages in the brain, and so that may require a surgical treatment, or it may not. It would depend on the individual situation.
Yeah, yeah. Can you do anything to prevent strokes?
Sure, you can do a lot of things to prevent strokes. Most importantly is to be healthy. Make sure that you're exercising. Make sure that you're eating healthy foods. If you smoke, stop smoking. Drink alcohol in moderation. No more than one drink a day is the recommendation. Make sure that you see your physician, have all your preventive health checkups. And if you're a diabetic, make sure that your diabetes is well controlled. There's a number, you know, you want to control your cholesterol. That's why it's so important to see your doctor and have preventive exams
mm-hmm.
and have lab work done so you can see what is your cholesterol. Does it put you at a risk for developing those fatty deposits in your blood vessels and having a stroke?
We're talking about strokes today, and we have with us Gail Warner, who is a nursing manager in the hospital, and Matt Forbes, who is head of marketing, and why should we go to Holland Hospital for a stroke?
Well, yeah, it's interesting.
I've read some of the stories that come out of our emergency room when someone comes in and is treated with a stroke, and it's really inspiring to see the kind of work that can happen when someone gets there in a timely way and the stroke team converges. I mean, it's a really a multidisciplinary group. You know, obviously there are well-trained nurses and staff, but there's also radiologists and neurosurgeons and the rehab folks, and everybody converges and really has a protocol.
What we call a full court press.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you got all the experts around the bedside, and first, of course, as Gail mentioned, they diagnose what whether it was a stroke and what type of stroke it was, because that's essential for how it's treated. But that kind of a system approach is really recognized by our accreditation agency, and with a certain level of performance, you become a primary stroke center, and that certification indicates that you're capable of operating at the highest level when someone comes in. So we're proud of that certification, but most important, we're enthused by the results that people that get treated in time can get. Well, Gail, do you want to add anything to that? It's kind of a neat operation to have in the hospital.
I can't think of anything.
You know, it's one of those things that you don't just get. You have to keep earning it. Gail and I were just talking in the hallway about the fact that every year the certifiers come back and they want to see patient records. They want to see how you perform. They want to see your order sets. They want to talk to your staff. Part of that's educating the community. So what we're doing today is really part of that, letting people know and reminding them, because you forget. You know, stroke isn't always on your mind.
Yeah.
It's just something when it happens, it's always a surprise. But, you know, when my mother-in-law had a stroke, we were at the movie theater, and she collapsed in the bathroom. And it's like, well, we didn't expect that, you know.
No, of course not.
Yeah, and so you have to always be ready and, you know, recognize the signs in your loved ones and friends. I mean, we would hope that if you saw someone on the street that appeared to be exhibiting a stroke, you would help as a good Samaritan, even though you're not related to them. So it helps to all know. And I'll bet that if you talk to a room full of people, you're going to find more than a handful that are close to someone that had a stroke, either by a relative or a friend.
What do you do if you're alone?
Great question.
Grab the phone.
What do you do?
Dial 911.
Yes, yeah. If you're alone, you grab the phone and dial 911.
Mm-hmm. If you can.
If you can, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the key, is sometimes you're not able to.
Yeah.
But if you can, the most important thing is to call 911 and get to the hospital.
Now, not too many years ago, we didn't have the medications that we do now to prevent more problems with strokes. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, what's important now is, you know, high blood pressure medication is very important.
We got a call here. Let's take that. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. I was just listening to your guest, and he was telling us about how they had a protocol.
Yes.
And everything. Well, I was in there about 2 years ago with a stroke, and I can say that everything that he says is true. I got in there, and they jumped on me like a herd of a bunch of bees on a bowl of honey.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take them long, and they found out what was wrong with me, and they treated me. And I think because of that, I'm as good as I am today.
Well, good. Good.
Wow.
That's wonderful. That's correct. Part of being the primary stroke center is we work quickly. We have certain things that we know have to be done immediately to rule out a stroke, and we're moving as quickly as possible to get to that diagnosis.
Thanks for calling today. Your story makes it all worthwhile.
It does. It really does.
So yeah. I can't speak highly enough of what they did for me in Holland Hospital. Then they determined what they could do, and then they sent me to St. Mary's Hospital, where they continued the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say I'm 95% back to where I was.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
Great. Thanks so much for sharing that, and I'm glad you're doing well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
What else is happening? This is stroke month. I think we mentioned that.
Yeah.
What else is happening this month?
Well, funny you should ask. We've got a long list of exciting things.
Really?
Yeah, we do. That's right. Yeah. We usually have something good, but this upcoming few weeks is going to have some real exciting stuff. One thing I did want to mention, and I appreciate the chance to do this, is that we're going to have an open house for a new building on our campus. for the last, couple of years, the ground's been disrupted and there's been a big fence up and a lot of building going on. And we're welcoming West Michigan Heart, which is now part of Spectrum Health, to our campus.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a heart and vascular center that's opening on June 5th for our open house event. And they'll begin seeing patients later in the month. But the open house is from 2 to 7 on Thursday, June 5th, and the public's invited. And we'll have refreshments and a tour, and it's really a beautiful building and a chance to talk directly to some of the cardiologists.
Okay, and let me interrupt you there. Okay. And take this call.
Yep.
Good morning. You're on the line with our guest. Hello? Oh, here we are. Yes, you're on the line with our guest.
He was talking about strokes. Well, yesterday I was eating breakfast, and all of a sudden I couldn't direct my spoon. I couldn't do what I wanted to do with it.
Yeah.
And I suppose that was a TIA. I didn't do anything about it.
It could be.
And but I did have a carotid artery cleaned out in 96, and it's probably, it was a similar thing. I couldn't comb my hair.
Hmm.
You know? And it's just, it went over, got over it, and it was, by the time I've eaten, and I didn't do anything about it. So it does happen.
Yes, it does. It does.
I suppose I should have called 911, but I live alone, and I didn't do it. Anyhow, that's my story today.
Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's exactly the sort of thing that we're talking about.
Yeah,
that can happen.
Yeah, it's hard to know that when you lose some sensation or you lose some motor function. I mean, I've had my mother tell me that it happened to her, and I always think, well, geez, she probably should have called 911. So
yeah.
It's probably better to do it than to not do it, because you know that it's the least of the mistakes you could make. So definitely always call 911 if you have a concern.
Be on the safe side.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, what else you got there?
Yeah, well, we talked about the open house on June 5th. That's Thursday from 2 to 7. Everybody's invited, so that'll be fun. Come out for that. Another exciting thing that's happening on June 12th, which is the Thursday following that, we have Dr. Fraunheim, who is our one of our cardiologists at Holland Hospital and also with Spectrum Health, is going to be speaking about dietary tips to prevent heart disease, which is kind of exciting. His title is An Apple a Day Keeps the Doctor Away. So now you're going to hear that directly from the cardiologist. How about that? So his point is really interesting, that some of the low-fat, high-carb diets that people have moved to have actually done more harm than good, and he's going to provide some tips for how to rebalance your pyramid the way it should be. And eat the right stuff. So you're gonna wanna, I think, stop by for that. That's in the evening from 6 to 7 on Thursday the 12th. So that'll be exciting. A bunch of other things are going on, so I'll just keep rattling along, Duke,
okay,
if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
There's an advanced care planning seminar that's going on June 19th, the Thursday after that. So block off your Thursdays in June from 6 to 7, and that's a chance to learn about healthcare decisions at the end of life and so forth, and that'll be something you want to see at the hospital. You can sign up for that. Another program from our Center for Good Health, get this, a yoga for cancer survivors. Isn't that kind of cool? That's happening on June 5th as well, on Thursday, from 5:30 to 6:30, and also on the 24th. So you can go to our website and check that out. It's a new program, Yoga for Cancer Survivors. And finally, we have a hip and knee pain seminar as well that continually are offered to help people understand what's causing that pain in their joints and how they might get treated, either non-surgically or surgically, depending on where they are in that knee pain situation. So another thing they want to check out. So all these are available for information on our website, and we really hope to see folks turn out for that open house in June, because it's going to be an exciting building and a lot of fun to take a look around.
Okay. For the nurses, I think I've been in the hospital about four or five times in the last 10 years or so, and I could classify the nurses when they came in my room. Very good. Very good. Some of them were. Others were good.
Yeah.
I never ran into a really bad one. So.
You know, your heart's got to be in it.
Cause yeah,
that's
right.
It's hard work, and it's, you know, you got to be dedicated, I'm sure.
Good morning. You're online with our guests.
Did he say you should take an aspirin if you're having a stroke? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you. All right, let's clarify the aspirin thing, shall we?
The recommendation for treatment is, yes, that you take an aspirin, but the most important thing for you to do is to call 911.
Right.
And they will give you an aspirin in the emergency room. So please call 911 and get to the hospital as quickly as possible.
Okay. One evening I was in the hospital, when I was in the hospital, it was a Sunday evening, not very busy at all, and one of the nurses came and sat on the edge of my bed and talked to me for a little bit, and that was great. I remember that to this day.
Yeah.
And apparently she wasn't busy at the moment either, so that was wonderful.
That is. It's a personal care business. You know, it's certainly highly technical, but it comes down to people helping people. That's a neat business. Yeah.
But a lot of the nurses are in sympathy with you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know they have a lot of special training, and I do miss the white uniform, so.
Oh, yeah, with the hats and the...
Yeah. And the pins and everything.
Okay, now, Duke, you're dating yourself.
She was a nurse.
That's right. There you go.
And I always felt, you know, that was kind of special.
By the way, if you can remember that, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
I know it. I know it. Well, the first time I was in the hospital, I think, was about 1951.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
that's
a few years ago, and that was when I think they all had uniforms at that time.
Yeah.
Now, if you come to Holland Hospital, you can identify all the nurses by the navy blue scrubs that they wear.
Oh, yes.
All the RNs wear navy blue scrubs.
Navy blue scrubs.
Cool. Yeah. So they still have a uniform. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll keep that in mind then.
Yeah, remember that.
I hope I don't have to go again, but I'll keep it in mind anyhow. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah.
They might have had those the last time I was there. I'm not sure.
They change colors sometimes. Yeah.
But usually I was there for a blockage, and it was a boring time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And having a good nurse around is a help. It really is.
Yeah.
The real morale builder.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a great part of making your stay in the hospital good or bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're about out of time, and we hope that people have learned a lot about strokes this morning. If you haven't, you better, because one of them may hit you suddenly.
Yep, and May is Stroke Month, but it's an all-year-around kind of thing to be thinking about.
Yeah,
Great.
And we thank you both very much for being our guests this morning here on our Talk of the Town program.